Amen. It's good. Well, this is the week that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the crowd spread out their cloaks on the road, and they spread out with other branches, and they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, and blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. And all four Gospels record this significant and prophetic event. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, John's Gospel, chapter 12, and Jesus cleared the temple. He taught stories and he challenged the Jewish leaders. Judas betrayed him. The Last Supper took place. Jesus predicted Peter's denial. He was betrayed. He was arrested. He was tried by the authorities. He was disowned by Peter. He was mocked. He was placed on a cross, and he was crucified. This week, he also arose. The resurrection took place. The message this morning is entitled, "The Seven Last Sayings of Jesus," and Linda and I will share with you this morning from these seven final sayings that Jesus said. And the first saying is a plea for forgiveness.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
This is a very powerful verse, and each of us needs to hear this and apply it to our own lives. And the first of the last sayings is a plea for mercy on behalf of the tormentors. Oh my goodness. Jesus prayed to God for forgiveness. He prayed to God for forgiveness. The verses that Linda just read tells us that the mocking and the jeering had reached incredible levels. It was probably crazy. It was probably like the restaurant we went to on Friday night with the youth rally in Huntsville. And it was pitch loud. It was just crazy. So what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He begins to intercede. He begins to intercede, folks. Jesus responded precisely in the opposite way that most of us would respond. He did not jeer back at them. He did not lash out cursing and swearing like his tormentors did. He prayed to God on their behalf. Oh my goodness, do we need the Lord in our lives? Because I'm telling you, this guy can't do that without the Lord. How many of you have been so wounded, so hurt, that you just want to lash out, but to get on your knees to intercede for someone who has hurt you so deeply? Oh my goodness, what a message this is. And Jesus prayed to God on their behalf. He prayed on the behalf of his own killers. Oh my goodness. Why? How? He did it to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12, it says, "He poured out his life unto death, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for his transgressors." See, everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament was coming together this very week. This very, very, very week. You know, there is people, I'm telling you, you could look at, who don't believe anything that we have, but they go through the Old Testament prophecies and they cannot deny that this week is historic and this week is factual. And there have been people who are atheists who have done their homework and have gone through the scripture, and they would say, oh my goodness, look at Lee Strobel. One of our missions is also to be a person of mercy as well. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So what areas of your life, what areas of my life do you hold resentment and unforgiveness this morning? Any? I do. I'm working on it. I do. Not against this girl. She's so awesome. Oh, my goodness. Woman of prayer. Get up in the morning and you look and the house is quiet and I look. I come out of the bedroom and her desk is right in the other bedroom there and she's just praying for me, praying for you, interceding. The second last saying is a promise of salvation.
But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
The second saying is an answer to prayer that Jesus just prayed. As the hours of agony were upon him upon the cross, one of the two thieves had mocked Jesus. He had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. And this was a tremendous miracle, because this man was considered a degenerate in society, but he began to see Jesus was indeed who he claimed to be. And in Luke's gospel that Linda just read, it tells us that he rebuked his partner in crime, saying, "Do you not even fear God?" And then he turned to Jesus and he confessed him as Lord. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And here is the promise of salvation. Jesus said to him this, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Truly, you will be with me in paradise." Folks, our identity is who we are in Him. Our identity is not in who we once were, okay? Our identity is in who we are in Him. We will spend eternity in paradise with Him. I want to live today knowing like I'm going to be living in paradise. I don't want to be living in yesterday's manna. I want to have a heart. I am going to live in paradise with my Lord and with my Savior, and my actions today are going to be the actions of a person who believes that and walks in that. Amen? And I would suggest you probably do the same thing. So here is the promise. Jesus said, "Truly." The third last saying is Jesus is a provision for his mother.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home.
It wasn't only Jesus' enemies on the cross. John 19 and 25 describes this scene. Near the cross stood his mother. Picture this for a second, okay? How many of you are mothers here? Okay, just picture the scene here. Oh my goodness. The pain of watching Jesus die must have been something beyond what we could comprehend or imagine or endure. You know, we read the story and everything like this, but if you get into the story a little bit, if you allow the Spirit of God to transform your mind so you can see with God's eyes into the story, what a horrific situation this was. As she watched, the crowds poured out their wrath against Jesus, and all she could do was watch in agony. Oh my goodness, imagine how many of you have had a child that was bullied in school and all you can do is watch because the system didn't allow for the proper thing and you're watching your child grow up and it's being tormented because of just life of growing up. And here we have Mary and she saw him standing and she was grieving. And his third saying from the cross reflects how tender the heart of Jesus is. This is why, folks, we tell you, read the red, read the red, read the red, read the red, because we need to get the Spirit of Jesus in our very hearts so we don't lash out. And what does he do? He says he has such a tender love for his mother. And dying on the cross, he turned aside to care for her earthly needs. Talk about the fifth commandment saying, honor your parents. Wow. Wow. Jesus' fourth saying from the cross is a petition to the Father.
From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
The Bible tells us from the sixth hour, that's 6 a.m. in the morning, until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? A petition to the Father. Psalm 22 in the Old Testament says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is quoting this psalm with prophetic anticipation as he bore the sins of the world on the cross, and all creation was groaning. All creation was groaning. He was dying as a substitute for others. He was dying as a substitute for you. He was dying as a substitute for you. He was dying as a substitute for me as well. I do not fully understand, but in some mysterious way, God the Father was pouring out the full measure of his wrath against sin, and Jesus was the recipient of all the wrath. This is our Lord and Savior. This is who we think, this is who we sing all the time. Remember in the 90s when the song came out? Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth here. Of your name. I sing the joy of the in you. Jesus is the true meaning of the cross, and God made him that no sin would be against us any longer. And in that, we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God. How many of you feel like the righteousness of God right now? Amen. You know? The fifth saying of the cross is a pleading for relief.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
Children. We love them. Right? Told you that, eh? So Jesus knew all things were about to become accomplished, and he says, I am thirsty. We have seen from his divine nature, and we see his true humanity as well. Although he is God, he experienced the normal limitations of human flesh, and we all know that we have. God's account of the cross with verse 30, which leads us to the sixth saying of the cross, a proclamation of victory.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Folks, we will be making a proclamation this week at the Capitol Center. For those of you students, you go home and you'll be making a proclamation wherever you worship. And we will be making a proclamation as a city. And, you know, a transformed life, a transformed heart. You know, there will be people, city officials, in this meeting. And there will be people, family members, who are invited, who maybe would never go to a church service, but they're going to be invited. and a transformed life where we have the eyes of God. Okay? And we see as he sees, people will recognize that in you. Just as people were transformed when they were with Jesus, people will recognize in you if your life is truly transformed. And transform means to that you align yourself up how he sees things. And when people see that in you, don't you desire that someone's life would be transformed just because you have lined up your life honestly and in purity with God? And you don't really have to do anything, but his glory will reveal that to people. Like, think about that. That's a super, super, supernatural miracle. It is divine. It is holy. Right? Jesus let out a triumphant outcry, full of rich prophetic meaning. The work was complete. The ransom was paid. All accounts were settled. All that remained was for Jesus to die so that he might rise again. Jesus' final saying was again another prayer, a prayer of consummation.
Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
It is finished. 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 Why revisit it? It is finished. Can you say that with me? It is finished. It is finished. Give it to him. It is finished. When he said this, he breathed his last, and John's gospel tells us that he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He simply yielded up his life. Next Sunday, we will celebrate as Jesus triumphantly burst from the grave. Amen? Do you know what Jesus did before he spoke any of these things that we talked about this morning? The Bible tells us that Jesus wept for the city. He wept for the city. We saw in this that he interceded for those tormentors. He wept for the city. He looked at the city of Jerusalem. He saw the mixture of faces, and he realized the emptiness of their lives. Yet many did not understand the purpose of his coming. They had eyes, but they didn't see. They had ears, but they didn't hear. The Prince of Peace was in town, and many missed him. How sad that is. As pastors, how sad it is for us that, you know, so many miss it. So many miss it. So many miss it. So many miss it. All I know is that for those not to miss it, collectively, not as just pastors of a church, but collectively, if we allow our hearts and minds to be transformed, I think less people will miss it. I think less people will miss it. Like many of us, they wanted God on their own terms, so he wept for them because of their superficial belief. Amen? How many of you know that people who have superficial beliefs? Amen. How many of you have superficial beliefs? So in conclusion, today, just like the city of Jerusalem, we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. Do you sense the Lord in this house? Amen. Do you? Do you sense the Lord in this house? Wow, you girls are awesome. So that's Megan and... Okay. Welcome, you know? Welcome. Go meet those guys after. They're really nice girls. New daughters. We find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. And I wonder what he finds when he looks into our faces. Okay, so Jesus is just standing here now. Just pretend, okay? And he's just kind of looking into your face, into your heart, into all of those things. What's he seeing? Okay? Instead of going defensive and saying, he sees this, and you turn away in shame, I'm saying, what does he see? Not what you think he sees. What do you think he sees in you because of the cross of Jesus Christ? Now, you have to start to walk in that. You know, you need to start to walk in that. Automatically, why? Like, I'm saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. You think when I think, what does he see? Do you think I think about when I was 22 years old, when I was drinking too much? It's gone. Does he see people who recognize him for who he is? The Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus still weeps today. Amen. We're going to receive communion this morning. Linda's going to assist us this morning in communion. And what a perfect day to have communion. Amen. Next Sunday, we are going to have water baptismal service. And Lucy is going to be baptized in water. And if there's anyone else who would like to be, let us know. But I thought it would only be appropriate that Ty would baptize her in water as she's part of the youth group. So isn't that wonderful? So isn't that good? So God is good.